Powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today. Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Great to have your company. Love your calls. Always love your calls coming through. So jump on the line anytime you are good enough to call. I'm good enough to get you on and you can make your point. Anything in the world of sport you'd like to discuss. 1-300-736-736. The show is yours. It's about talkback radio. It's what I enjoy doing. And having a chat to you about what's moving you. 1-300-736-736, the open line. Thanks to Werribee Kia. They're staying open to help Victorians through this right now. You can drop down and see Janan and Aid. Make sure you tell them we sent you. Peruse the great range of cars that Kia have, and you can drop your car in there for a service at Werribee Kia as well. They're still open for business at Werribee Kia right now to help you through this. And if you'd like to join me on the speckled text, I'll read out a few of your speckled texts again very shortly. 0433 98 11 16. That's a speckled text number. Speckled cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. That number, 0433 98 11 16. One of the big stories evolving today is this little stoush, and whether it turns into a big stoush, only time will tell. But at the moment, there is a pay dispute story that has been dropped on us, broken in the last 2 hours, by Neil Breen from Channel 9, NRL reporter, and he's going to explain it to us right now. Welcome to you, Neil. Thanks a lot for your time.
How are you, Dwayne?
I'm very, very good, although I was excited to get some rugby league to watch. I hope I'm still going to get it.
Yeah, well, that's the big question at the moment. I'll try and fill you in on exactly where we stand right now. So last night, senior players, so senior representative from each of the teams were in a phone hookup with the Rugby League Players Association. Cam Smith, obviously, from the Melbourne Storm, is involved in that group. And yesterday was the deadline the players set the NRL to give them the answers on lots of things, the biosecurity measures, this and that, because I got lots of questions about that, all those things. And also a new pay deal, because obviously there'll be a new pay deal because the broadcasters, Nine for free-to-air, Fox Sports for pay TV, aren't going to pay as much for rugby league for the rest of the year than they originally agreed to. And their offers are on the table at the NRL at the moment. On the phone hookup last night, the players were told that the rugby league's probably still a week away from finalising that pay deal. So led by the New Zealand Warriors, and the Warriors obviously have got the big task. They've got to come across and go into isolation in Tamworth, and they've got to come across on Sunday because everyone's got to start pre-season training Monday/Tuesday, so it's fair for all 16 clubs. Blake Green, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, Adam Blair were on that call, and they said, hang on a second, we agreed that today was the day we'd learn everything. We haven't learned anything. We're not jumping on a plane and putting ourselves in isolation for a fortnight, only for something to fall over between the broadcasters and the NRL, and then we're left in no man's land in limbo. Then we go home and isolate again. They didn't want to be in that position. So Cam Smith from the Storm, there were Sydney Roosters players, many of the players supported them and said, we agree. Today was the day we're supposed to be told everything. We haven't been told anything. So we're not going back to training on Monday until we're told. And so that set off a train of events today, Dwayne. The NRL was scrambling. They're quite angry at the players because of the work they've put in. The NRL's trying to finalise those deals with the broadcasters, but the broadcasters, they've agreed to May 28th. They haven't agreed to the money. And the players are on an urgent phone hookup right now to be told the latest lay of the land, which is the NRL is saying you'll get 80% of your money for the whole year. The year goes from October to October. They've been paid 7 months in full until the end of May. And then once they're actually playing, June, July, August, September and into October, those 5 months, they're going to be put on half the money they were on. Does that make sense? To bring them down to 80% of the total. Say you're a $1 million player, you'll get 800. But in those 5 months that you're actually playing, you'll be on half money. And so that's where the situation's at.
But they'll get what? Pretty much close to nothing for those months of play if they don't play.
50%. Well, if they don't play, they'll get nothing.
Yeah.
Right? But they'll get 50% of their pay for those 5 months, which brings their total remuneration for the whole year down to 80% of what they signed. Yep. The NRL says that's fair because the whole of society's taken pay cuts. You can't be exempt from it. So the NRL's very angry at them. They're having another phone hookup now, the players. They'll be to-ing and fro-ing all day. Where this lands by tonight or tomorrow, I can't tell you, Dwayne. I can't tell you if the Warriors are going to get on a plane. But the NRL is saying, hey, we have paid you guys until the end of May, and if we tell you to go to training on Monday, you'll go.
It's not extraordinarily outrageous to think taking a 20% cut is fair, is it?
No, look, I think the players, I think they'll come round to the 80%. I think what shocks the players is that they're going to be on 48% of their pay for the 5 months they're playing. And there's distrust between the players and the NRL because of, you know, the stories they see and hear in the media about the NRL's money and how they are broke and they've got to take loans, but they got a $1.8 billion deal over 5 years. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I suppose this is just a game of brinkmanship. So they want to position themselves in a position of strength for the future. That's just where it's at.
So what would their future be like if they didn't have a 2020 season at all? What would 2021 look like in terms of the finances of the NRL and their future of being a player in the NRL in 2021 if they don't play in 2020?
Well, it'd look worse. I don't think, you know, the money, obviously the NRL would be broke, would be stone cold broke without any revenue for this year. You know, what broadcasters would pay for next year, who knows? You know, like obviously they'll want to redo all their deals going forward. I think that's a question that's hard to answer, but that's the issue for the players. The players are very conscious, Dwayne, that this looks bad. They understand it looks bad, but they still want to know the final answers from the NRL. But the NRL believes that the players should go show good faith in what they've done for them, being the first mainstream sport like this in the world to get back off the ground again. And they think they should be shown some respect from the players in return.
So where do you think this is, or when do you think even it's going to be resolved, Neil? As soon as later today?
Oh, I think so. Look, now that the NRL behind the scenes is talking tough about, hey, we've paid you until the end of May, you've got to come to training, I think they'll probably get that over the line. But the Warriors have obviously, the Warriors raised problems at every turn. The Warriors sort of initially said, well, where do our families lie with this? If we're here there for 4 or 5 months, can the families come? The government, you know, the NRL sort of let it be known this week, the government had given the Warriors approval to travel over here and go into isolation in Tamworth. And then the Prime Minister said yesterday, said, we haven't got that approval for them yet. It hasn't been discussed yet. So it has to be discussed at tomorrow's National Cabinet meeting. I worry that the Warriors keep bringing up small issues as a playing group. And the other players back the Warriors, like their brothers at the Warriors, you know, the players they play against, players they've played with when they've been at different clubs. Cam Smith's great mates with Blake Green, for instance. Blake Green's now with the Warriors. He used to play for the Storm. And so that is my concern. I think the rest of the players, the Queensland clubs, the Sydney clubs and the Storm, I think they'll fall into line. My concern is with the Warriors. Once they've gone through customs in New Zealand on Saturday or Sunday, I'll be more confident.
Right, absolutely we will. At least I'm going to be on the way here on a plane here. Hey, you mentioned tomorrow's National Cabinet meeting. I've been talking about it a bit earlier on this program in terms of the context for the AFL, and if National Cabinet is going to move to open the borders up within Australia, it's going to open it up for the AFL to maybe play a season without having hubs. It sounds as if, and I'm sure you're probably hearing this as well, that the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, is pretty keen to get sport back on the TVs in Australia.
I just watch it for a sec, Dwayne.
Yeah. It sounds as if, and I'm talking about this National Cabinet meeting tomorrow, it sounds as if the Prime Minister is intimating that he'd love to get some major sport on Australian televisions.
I think there's no doubt about that. Look, firstly, he's a massive Cronulla Sharks fan. Okay, so let's understand that. But he says he wouldn't put that ahead of the health of the nation. I think politicians are desperate for Australian life to get back to normal. And watching the footy on the weekend with your family is a part of getting back to normal. Hey, we mightn't be going to the footy, but at least it steps in the right direction. The Queensland Premier, for instance, Anastasia Palaszczuk, has always been a bit reticent. But Anastasia Palaszczuk, she's got an election later in the year. Mm. And she knows that if she's anti-football all year, it's not going to play out well in the electorate. It's a good thing politically. if you can get this done. And I think the AFL, look, I think the AFL is in a good position to restart if those border restrictions go away. The AFL's problem over and above league's problem was it had more states. League had less states. League's big problem was the Warriors. AFL's big problem was the closed border in Queensland, the closed border in South Australia, the closed border in Western Australia. If they open up, it's got less problems.
June, if they open up for the AFL, do you think?
I think without a doubt, and I think if I was an AFL fan and my borders of my state were open and I was watching NRL games being played, I'd be pretty dirty my team wasn't playing.
Wow, mid-June. Andy Marr might have had it right all this time. Mid-June, we might be a month away from having AFL. What about that? Great to have you, Neil. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and a great story you dropped on us today. Channel 9 NRL reporter Neil Breen joining us. By the way, the NBL has confirmed that Bryce Cotton not eligible to sign for another NBL club. Perth holds his NBL contract rights, so he can choose to opt back in with Perth after testing the market. If he doesn't rejoin Perth, though, he won't be playing for another NBL club. So it's not as if he's going to come and play for Melbourne United all of a sudden. Or go to the highest bidder here in Australia. But there will be a lot of people, a lot of teams, a lot of competitions overseas, if they can get their competitions running, that would be in for his services. He's the best player in the NBL, has been for seasons now. And it's always surprised me that an NBA team hasn't picked him up. So the trouble is for Bryce Cotton right now, there might not be a lot of other competitions happening in October. So the NBL might be his only option in October. Back to your calls, 1300 736 736. Sebastian in Mernda. Welcome to you, Sebastian.
How's it going, Dwayne?
Good.
If the Tigers win another flag this year, do you reckon they'll get compared to Brisbane and Hawthorn?
Been talking about it a little bit, and I know you've sent a couple of texts through, Sebastian. I think they will. I honestly do think they will. Brisbane winning three in a row, and Hawthorn, as a club overall, have established themselves over a longer period of time by having the greatness extend beyond the years where they've just won the flags. They played in grand finals even in the years where they didn't win the flags for a long period of time, which is, I think, added to Hawthorn's greatness overall. So if Richmond can stay strong, not only win three flags in this period, but also be strong through a decade where they're always in the firing line for a flag whilst getting three, I think that does put them up there. I think absolutely it does. And I love the way that the Richmond Football Club has, you know, reinvented itself in the eyes of many. They're now a leader where, you know, 10 years ago we were laughing about them finishing ninth so often and can't get it right and changing coaches. Different Richmond Footy Club right now. Thanks, Sebastian. Mark in Mount Waverley. Welcome to you, Mark. A text coming through suggesting Bryce has signed with the team in Italy, Bryce Cotton. I'm not sure if that's true. That's just a text coming through, and I'm not sure how far away basketball is from being back in Italy, but I appreciate your text if that's true. Mark in Mount Waverley. Hello, Mark.
Yeah, hi, Dwayne. Thanks for taking my call. I'm not too sure, you may have answered this previously, but I'm not aware. In relation to the grand final parade, obviously we're all of the opinion that the grand final is not going to be held in September. Is that going to be a public holiday or what? Just seems that a futile exercise having a public holiday on a date that there's no specific event set aside for that particular purpose.
I think Sam McClure did break the story a week ago, saying that if there is a movement of the day of the grand final, which there is going to be, then the public holiday day will move with it, even though it's unlikely we'll get a grand final parade. But as we've been talking about on this program, no one really knows what it's going to look like in late October. I mean, if the graph, if the curve continues to flatten and we continue to get days after days after days, and I'll play the Martin Pakula grab on the 28 days of zero target, because it was interesting to me when he said it on this program, and it's interesting to me that it's been reported not from Martin Pakula, but just that 28 days of zero target has been reported in South Australia as well at the moment. If you get 28 days of zero around Australia, and it'll start state by state, then it changes the whole world here in Australia as to what's possible. Appreciate your call. David in North Melbourne, what can you do, David?
Hi, I'm just ringing up to say congratulations for the first time in my memory to the AFL for the handling of the concept around the hub, and applaud their determination to get the game up and going again. And in saying that, I deplore the expression of opposition from people such as Jared Waitley and Nathan Buckley to the concept. And don't they realise that the future of the game is all dependent on getting the game going, the revenues, payments to players, the long-term health of the game, etc., is all dependent on getting going very quickly. We can't wait another year to get going.
Yeah, I was surprised by the pessimistic response from Nathan Buckley yesterday. I was hoping that he'd be more positive about footy being back and what the possibilities were going to be and the opportunities that it's going to provide. But, everyone's got their opinion. Nathan Buckley's got his own particular circumstance, personally, that will control his demeanour and his attitude towards answering the questions that he's asked. And Jared's the same. He wakes up and he's got his own particular circumstance that he wakes up to every day. And his demeanour is his opinion is his. The fact that it's different to mine has been emphasised, I suppose, more starkly in the last month than ever before. But, everyone's got a right to their opinion, and their own circumstance sways their opinion. So I'm not going to have a whack at Bucks or Jared Waitley specifically, but I have been a little disappointed by more people in leadership positions in football not having a more holistic view to the greatness of the game going forward, what the greater good is, because we do need, it's the whole football industry. It's not just the players and their specific circumstance. It's fans. It's the physios, it's the coaches, it's the cameramen, it's the marketing staff at club. It's all club employees. It's hundreds of people. And their livelihood is on the line here. And the players have that in their hands. And it's not just their personal circumstance for them to take into account, I don't think. I think they need to take into the account that it's the whole football industry that's in their hands. We'll take a break. More of your calls after it. 1300 736 736.